comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
Welcome, everybody, to episode number 62 of Nerds United on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. I'm Greg Mahochko, your host, through the first 61 episodes and through the remaining episodes. I don't know why I'm getting so weird about that. Anyway, it is the day after Batman v Superman's 9:45 showing, which, because of all of the awesome and totally necessary trailers that they had, the movie itself didn't start till 10:05. 10:05. I'm old. I used to be able to do those midnight shows no problem. But I also used to have a job that I didn't have to set an alarm for because I could go to work at 12:30 and that was just fine because I was an afternoon DJ. Now I gotta be at work at 8 o'clock in the morning, and on top of that I have a, you know, infant. I can't say newborn, but I have an infant. And, you know, he requires some attention as well. That's not a complaint. That's just an observation. Yes, the child who can't do anything for himself needs a helping hand from time to time. But anyway, Batman v Superman, the day after. I tell you, looking back on it, I'm not letting anything that I read online, any other reviews, drastically change my opinion. In fact, nobody's going to come with all the crap that's being said about this movie, about, you know, Batman and at the end of Man of Steel and how that all... I'm not letting any detractors take me away from what I found to be just a thoroughly enjoyable movie. In fact, I was surprised by people who I know personally are more kind of Marvel fans, and they said, you know, that they enjoyed it probably more than they anticipated it would. It's kind of like... Well, yeah, I'll just say it's kind of like sex. If you go in there with low expectations, you're not out to be, disappointed very much. That's been my philosophy. Whether or not that's worked for me, I don't know. You'd have to ask. Moving on. So anyway, that took a weird turn. The movie, I tell you what, things that I really liked about the movie, Hans Zimmer's score. And I know he had some help on that, but you'll have to forgive me that I don't remember the other gentleman's name who assisted on the score. But I really enjoyed the score. I've been gloating, if you will, about Batfleck all day on Facebook. You know, people are like, I wasn't so sure about Batfleck, or I knew it from day one that he was going to be good. And I said, yeah, I've got it on record. You got to go all the way back to Nerds United Episode 3. When I got into when it was announced the casting of Ben Affleck as the new Bruce Wayne Batman, I was confident from then. I'm glad to see that, in my opinion, and you know that shared by others, my opinion at that time has been validated. So hip hip hooray for me! Oh, so proud. While we're on the subject of casting, I was initially apprehensive about Gal Gadot as Diana Prince / Wonder Woman. You got to go back a little bit of ways to the casting call episode that I did at the beginning of 2014, if I remember correctly. And, you know, somebody said, yeah, cast Wonder Woman. And I said, Gina Carano. And looking back, I was way off. Gina, of course, was cast and played in Deadpool as Angel. And, of course, as we know, Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. And, my gosh, she was just phenomenal. Not the largest of roles, but, again, it was Batman v Superman, not Batman v Superman plus Wonder Woman. Not the largest of roles, but made such an impact from the get-go. From her first appearance on screen, she was, how do I put it, I don't want to say... what is the word that I am looking for? Anyway, what doesn't matter, I guess, as my English language fails me, but just very much in command at the times. She drew the eye. I mean, you knew, based on wardrobe changes or what, you knew that you were supposed to focus on this ravishing young woman who was portraying the Amazon. I guess they're going with demigod. We'll go with that. I think in the cinematic portrayal, like, of course, classically, I mean, in the comics, she is created from clay, but I believe in the cinematic portrayal, she is the daughter of Zeus and one of his many mistresses, I guess, I believe. Anyway, just phenomenal on her part. Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman held her own in the main action sequence when, well, I don't want to get into again. I try to do these spoiler free if I can. Amy Adams, I'm still not sold on her as Lois Lane after two movies, which I guess I need to get over that. And I will say that in the Zack Snyder DC universe, cinematic universe, the Superman secret identity is like the worst kept secret, because Lois Lane, if you haven't seen Man of Steel, I'm not too worried about spoiling that. Movie's 3 years old. Lois Lane, you know, as an investigative journalist or reporter, you know, is able to pinpoint his identity in Man of Steel, and, well, at least one is able to do it here in Dawn of Justice, Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice. It's a little frustrating because that's, you know, that's kind of a big thing. And so his identity being revealed is a key plot point for the climax of the movie. And just, you know, it's like, come on. It makes you wonder, because I hate doing these types of comparisons, because different eras, different filmmakers, obviously, but in Richard Donner's Superman the movie, Christopher Reeve, he plays it so well that you can't identify one as the other. But apparently, you know, just in the Snyderverse, it's Superman, but he has a beard, but Superman, and now he wears glasses. There's no real separation of the identities. There's no, like, that. One of the things that I like about Christopher Reeve's Superman is the fact that, you know, he's a little unsure of himself, a little clumsy, and who would think the mild-mannered, who Clark Kent is supposed to be, who would think the mild-mannered Clark Kent would ever be, you know, the last son of Krypton, Superman, the, you know, hero of the world, you know, the one of the most iconic names, you know, in that universe, and, you know, anyway, so that was, I don't know, that's just a beef that I had, but I had that problem with Man of Steel. I just didn't vocalize it as much, just worst kept secret, and they don't help themselves. I don't think this is a spoiler in any way. If you find it is a spoiler, leave your opinion in the comments and I will address it, but they don't try. It doesn't seem like they try to, you know, maintain any shred of, you know, secrecy in it. They just say, hey, this is, you know, this is me, the person. There's no dual identity. You know, how in the world are you supposed to have a secret identity when you're smooching on your, you know, secret identity's girlfriend? You know, if Superman is smooching on Lois Lane and everybody knows that Clark Kent and Lois Lane are an item, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to put two and two together. Most everybody's going to be like, hey, wait a minute, put these glasses on, I have a theory, a crazy theory. So anyway, that's one thing, one of my beefs. Like I said, if you caught the Periscope last night, A, I apologize. It ended up being a 9.5-10 minute conversation with myself and someone from Ireland, which is fine. I enjoy talking to people from Ireland. I plan to visit there someday. But I'm not very familiar with Periscope. So we'll just move on. But anyway, no, not a perfect movie. It was one of the things that, you know, they seem to address. While there's plenty of destruction in Batman v Superman, there's always followed up by a line like, well, good thing that the daily commute is over because the streets were relatively empty, or, well, that's a good thing that's all right, that island has been deserted, there's not going to be anybody on there, no casualties there. Come on. Seriously? That's a little too on the nose for addressing the collateral damage issue for Man of Steel. And while I'm talking about streets and islands, it is... Now, I have never been to the DC Universe. I've never been to Gotham City. I have been to Metropolis in Illinois, and has the giant Superman statue, which I'm kind of surprised that after Man of Steel they're still holding on to that. But anyway, no, I've never been to Gotham City. I don't know how close they are supposed to be in relative to one another. I always thought that they were, it always seemed like Batman had to take the Batwing to get to Metropolis, or Superman had to fly at least a couple minutes. But in this movie, they're right across the bay, and I thought maybe that was... I understand in the context of the story, it makes sense to have them, close to one another, similar to, I guess when you're talking bays, probably the most famous one, at least here in America, is San Francisco and Oakland. Not drawing any comparisons between those two actual cities and the fictional cities of Gotham and Metropolis, but I always thought that they were, at least maybe like New York and Boston, away from each other, where there's a little bit of a gap, And the reason I say that, the reason that is important, is because you have, at least in this context of, again, this universe, you have a Batman who's been doing his job for 20 years, give or take. You have Superman who's been around for, I believe, a year and a half now, as of the goings-on of this movie. And they've never met, and they're across the bay. They've never crossed paths. Like, Superman's, doesn't hear any crime being committed in Gotham and says, oh, I'll just hop across the bay and try to figure that one out. Just the fictional locations, or the geographical locations of these fictional cities, I always imagine that they'd be a little bit more spread out. Like, if you want to have them both on a body of water, maybe like a New York, Chicago type of distance, where it would make sense where their paths wouldn't cross. Why are their paths crossing for the first time, despite the fact that there's some, animosity there? There's some hurt feelings. We need safe spaces in the DC universe. Actually, with all the damage that we need to construct some shelters. A lot of people said, Doomsday, after the reveal of him in the trailer, is like, oh, I hope he looks a little bit better. And I will say, initially he doesn't look great, and I think his looks, his obviously CGI visual effects, I think they get a little bit better. Again, not trying to spoil anything, so I'll kind of keep this part short, but his appearance changes as they go through that battle. And you can find out why in, when you pay your... Well, see, it's not a Thursday night now for those of you who watch the Periscope, so you're not going to get the tickets for $5.99. You might have to pay $7.99, or maybe $9.99, depending on your locale. I like living in the rural areas, and I can pay $6 and watch a new movie, on its first night out. Anyway, I'm getting off... Doomsday appearance didn't thrill me. But I didn't let it be much of a distraction. Lot of hate, and this is going back to one of my previous guests from last summer, Kino Beeler from Grand Arc Designs and the Memories of Eldaria. Anyway, he said, on Facebook, he's like, not thrilled about Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor. Not thrilled about Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor. I kind of see it now. After watching the movie, I think that he has a point. I didn't totally oppose it. I mean, it's kind of, how did I see it described this morning? It's you can't have the whiny upstart also be like the main, I don't know, main villain of the movie, like the main mastermind of terror. And yet at the same time, it's a guy who's, I would almost venture to say, jealous of Superman, and obviously knows, you know, he's been around the Bay Area, so he knows of Batman and they see, you know, there's that line from the trailer says the son of Krypton and the Bat of Gotham, you know, as far as talking about setting up, you know, his perspective, his point of view of the big battle there. But there's more. I don't want to say that. I don't know if there's more to it. I think that, after you watch the movie, you realize that maybe he's acting at the behest of perhaps another bigger party. I don't know. Big things are going to happen in the DC universe. Quick, while we're talking about extending things out, we mentioned Wonder Woman and the Amazons is, I believe it's filming right now, Gal Gadot amongst others in starring roles in that movie. Nice little throwback feature, and I think it'll help tie in the movie we just saw or will see, and the upcoming Wonder Woman movie. There's a little bit of tie-in, I think, there in regards to a picture, a photograph, and then we get introduced to some of the other reported Justice League members through ways of not so much cameos, but I'd almost say like found footage or file footage type of thing. I have no problem with the way that they introduced those characters, and we get a little surprise, an actual cameo from one of the Justice Leaguers. I'm not going to spoil that for you. I'm sure you can find it online if you really want to know. But an interesting tie-in there, and could be pretty big implications for the rest of the DC Cinematic Universe. Overall, I enjoyed the movie. I'm happy to support it. It's a comic book movie, and I go in with that bias of there's a good chance that I'm going to like this. I took that bias in to Fantastic Four last summer, and it's all about perspective. If you go in with that mentality of, you know what, I don't think this is going to be very good, I think it's going to be crummy, then that's the type of experience you're going to have. If you go in there with an open mind and say, hey, look, they're maybe not giving me the movie that I would have made, but they're giving me a movie that I'll certainly go and watch. I think it was Ben Affleck who said that Zack Snyder didn't make a movie for the critics, made a movie for the fans. And as a fan, I did enjoy it thoroughly. So to that end, I say well done, Zack Snyder. I've never had a problem with his particular, you know, visual stylings, going back to 300, Sucker Punch, even Watchmen, you know, had that particular Zack Snyder style to it. Although Watchmen is a different beast altogether, largely because of the ending, but this is not a Watchmen episode. This is a Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice episode of Nerds United. This has been episode number 62. Long story short, folks, go out, watch a movie. This is a holiday weekend, and if that means spending a little bit of time with family or friends and going and taking in a show, I don't think you'll be disappointed with Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice. My name is Greg Mahochko. This has been my 19-minute overview, review, hopefully spoiler-free. Thank you for tuning in.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.